Please, in the book of the Acts, the 16th chapter of the book of the Acts. And we will read at verse 22. Acts 16 and verse 22. And the multitude rose up together against them, that is, against the apostle Paul and Silas, his partner, preaching the gospel. And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safe, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword, and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, and sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God, with all his house. Now I trust that God will bless the reading of this portion to you tonight. As we have often mentioned, the book of the Acts is the missionary book of our Bible. It is a presentation of the progress of the gospel after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus and the apostles preach the gospel. We follow the book of the Acts and we see the gospel moving into the continent, and amazingly, it began to move west. What a mercy. That's the reason that we're here tonight. We think of many, many of the lands that are to the far east of us, and the darkness that reigns, and the idolatry, and the ignorance of the true God. What a wonderful mercy. As you read through this book, as you see the gospel moving toward the west. And I'm thankful tonight, as we look into this book, that God has left to us 7 different cases of conversion, of how people receive the blessing of the gospel, receive God's salvation. Now, we have read one of them tonight, and I want to notice a few things with you. There are 4 things that I would like to point out to you about this man that he discovered about God's salvation all in one night. I think sometimes when people come to meetings like this, they think that there's a sort of a process that they'll have to go through. This is a religion into which I must be initiated, or this is some type of a belief that I'll have to learn more about before I can ever come to know the assurance that I'm saved for sure from hell and will surely go to heaven. It's going to take a while at least. Well, what I would like you to notice, friend, from the case of this man, and I would like to point out that this is a scriptural example, a scriptural authority. There is only one way of salvation for all mankind. And one thing that this dear man learned about salvation was it's instantaneous. It's not a process. It's not something you grow into. This is not something that men initiate you into. God's salvation is instantaneous. And sitting upon that chair where you are in this meeting tonight, you could receive God's salvation and be sure of it and never lose it. It's real to be saved. Thank God. It's a divine work. I cannot give it to you. I can only proclaim to you God's plan of salvation. And it's between you and God. Just like it was with this man, it is God that so graciously has devised a righteous means
that we poor, ignorant, rebellious, dying sinners might hear a message of grace and deliverance from the consequences of our own sin against the God of heaven. He graciously has provided it in His love. He gave His beloved Son to purchase it at the cost of His own blood. And on the basis of that shed blood, and the message of grace is proclaimed. And God, as we've been hearing tonight, is proclaiming to the world, He has accepted the work for salvation that His Son accomplished in His death upon the cross of Calvary. And friend, that message reaches to the four winds of the world, the same glad message. There's no other way for sinners to be saved but by faith in the person of Christ. Now I want you to notice, first of all, the first thing this man learned about God's salvation that night. What a momentous night in his experience. I've often wondered what the newspaper would have said if they had such a thing in those days. The headline would likely be one large word: earthquake. Philippi. People would be thinking of the buildings that fell. People would be thinking of the lives that might have been lost. And the streets would be torn up. And when the mess and the panic that there would be in Philippi from the earthquake. But you know, there was a strange, strange phenomena that night in Philippi. There was singing going on in the jail and praying. And after the earthquake, there was a man down on his knees. And that night, amidst the dust and the rubble of the remains of that earthquake in that jail, there was a sinner that was brought into the kingdom of God. And heaven began to ring with joy. My, what a sight. I tell you, friend, no newspaper would ever proclaim the headlines, "A sinner saved after the earthquake." Wouldn't be in the newspaper. But I want to tell you, it was known in heaven. And I wonder what it will ever take sometimes to see some folk who are attending the gospel meetings to be wakened up to the reality of the need of their soul in the light of eternity. Now let me notice with you, first of all, that this man discovered about God's salvation that night for the first time in his life, that it is the most urgent thing in his whole existence. The most urgent matter demanding his attention was his soul's salvation. Now you just stop and ponder, Fred. This man is on his job. He's sleeping. That likely might have been his habit. I don't know. But he was doing his business, and everything was secure, and so he fell asleep. God shook the place. And when God shook it, the man faced something that he'd never faced before in the light of what he'd been hearing by two men praying and two men singing. I don't know what hymns they sang, but I'm absolutely sure of this. They sang the virtues of the Lord Jesus as the only Savior for sinners. And they bowed their heart in prayer, those two godly gospel preachers, and cried to God that sinners in Philippi might be saved. And God shook the prison, and they got a soul that night. My, how precious. Dear friend in the meeting tonight, let me say to you, it's going to take something from God to waken up your soul to face this reality. I'm facing death, and I'm not saved. That's what it took, an earthquake to do it to this man. Now, that's not necessary, mind you. Very often in meetings like this, people come into a gospel meeting, and they sit and hear the solemn and the plain preaching of the truth of the Word of God, and it's just like thunder into their soul. And they're made to face the reality. If I die like I am, I'd go straight to hell. I'm not ready for heaven. I'm a sinner before God. Now, it took an earthquake to get this man to that point. But I want to tell you, friend, it doesn't take a process to bring sinners to repentance. Just one little touch from God. My, I hope God touches your life, your heart, young man, young woman. I hope the finger of God is very distinctly felt in your soul. For I want to tell you, the most urgent thing in your experience as you sit in this meeting tonight is the everlasting salvation from hell of your soul. The most urgent thing. There's nothing else in the world more urgent. This man's job took second place. This man's appearing before the authorities took second place. The only thing that mattered is, how can I get saved? What must I do to be saved? That's all that mattered. May I ask you kindly, friend, have you ever seriously pondered? If you reach the goal of your pursuits, what will you have? Young man, if you reach what you're grasping for, what will you have? You'll have nothing to meet your God with. You'll have nothing to hang on to in the moment of death to keep you out of judgment. You'll have nothing to take you straight to glory. What you need is what this man discovered that night. I need to be saved, and I need it tonight. Now, I can't make you realize that, friend. And I'm preaching tonight with this hope that God, before you ever came into this building, has touched your conscience with this realization. These meetings are for you. You better get saved. Mind you, friend, if you've had thoughts like that, let me say to you, that's God. God in wondrous mercy, who does not want to see you lose your soul and be in the eternal burnings of righteous condemnation against your sin. God wants to see heaven filled with men and women, and He will see it. Thank God He will. But will you be there? Oh, friend, tonight, I earnestly ask you, have you ever discovered the absolute urgency of your soul's salvation? That's what this man recognized. It reminds me of a story. When I was a boy, I was born and raised in Niagara Falls in Ontario. And I remember the account of one occasion where a man was fishing in the Niagara River and the rope from his anchor wore loose and came loose from the anchor and he began to drift. But it was a lovely sunny day and he had gone to sleep in his boat. Left the fishing rod out over the side and he'd fallen asleep in his little boat. Rolled up his jacket behind his head and there he fell asleep. And the boat began to drift, and it began to drift toward the cataract of the Niagara Falls. If you have ever seen it, you will understand a little of the experience that I will describe. And as he went towards that cataract, someone saw his boat drifting. And they saw his head propped there against the side of his little motorboat. And he's heading for danger. They called the police, and the police beside the river, they turned the sirens on in their cruisers, but it never woke them. They called the fire trucks came roaring down, and the sirens blowing, and the firemen shot their ropes and missed his little boat three times. It's twisting now, gotten into the dangerous currents of that river as it heads for the cataract. One man in desperation, he picked up a stone about the size of his fist, and he pitched it toward that boat. And it landed square in the chest of that man. I want to tell you that woke him up. And he took in suddenly the reality of what was happening. He was heading toward the precipice. And he stood up in his boat, only 9 feet from the edge. And his last words in time were these: I'm lost. I'm lost. I'm lost. And he went over. He woke up too late. And he lost his life. And I want to say to you, my friend, in all the reality that the gospel presents, if you don't believe God, the most urgent matter in your experience is getting right with God for eternity. You'll wake up too late and be forever lost. That's the first thing you discover. The most urgent thing. Nothing else must come first. Nothing must interfere. Nothing, absolutely no one and no thing must interfere. I must be saved. And I've got to get it tonight. The second thing I want you to notice this man discovered is that God's salvation is very personal. It's immediately. Immediately. Many a time this man had cast cursing men into the some of them, their hands had been stained with blood. They were murderers. And he liked to give them a good boot when he pushed them down into the dungeon. That's what you deserve anyway. Killing people or robbing or whatever. And he certainly would cast those men in there and lock them in with a chain. Likely some of them cursing him. He'd have to hold them down and get help from his police officers to hold them while he would chain them in. They were ungodly men. He'd likely go away thanking his parents that he wasn't brave or a background like those men. I don't know what kind of a man he was. His life isn't shown to us. But
The whole point is this, friend. And that night it dawned into his soul when he looked into through the dust of that earthquake, into the reality of the jaws of death. He wasn't thinking of the murderer. And he wasn't asking himself, what will a heathen do? And he wasn't asking himself now, what will so-and-so do? The only thing that mattered is my soul. What must I do to be saved? It's me that needs it. Oh, I wonder if there's one in this audience tonight, and you came through the door to this little building, and reverberating in your soul is this solemn question, oh God, it's me that needs to be saved. It isn't a question now of what will God do with a healer. It's not a question now of what will God do with a boy that has the coat and the drugs and the drink and the wickedness and the immorality. What will God do with me? I need to be saved. That's all that matters, friend. Oh, that some sinner in this little audience tonight might see it never before. What must I do to be saved? Here I am sitting in this meeting tonight, and I'm looking into the reality of a world to come, and I've got nothing to hang on to. Oh, God, what must I do to be saved? Very closely. But I want you to notice the third thing that this dear man discovered that night. He discovered that God's salvation is a person that can be trusted. That's what salvation is. Oh, my friend, listen to the language of those dear preachers. Now, isn't it amazing? They didn't go over a catechism with him, and they didn't tell him about being baptized until after he was saved, and they didn't go along with him and try to explain a lot of doctrine. They just presented the person of the Lord Jesus, for this was urgent. It's now or never. The man was on the brink of eternity. And dear sinner, as I look into your face, I have to realize tonight I may never be able to present the truth of the gospel again. And I want to present the Lord Jesus to you. He's the only one that can save a sinner like you. But thank God he can be trusted. He can be. That's what that man learned that night. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I want to say to you kindly, friend, you can trust the Lord Jesus in his word. When the Lord Jesus speaks, his word can be trusted. You can rest your soul on the word of the Lord Jesus. We heard of a man from the book of Romans tonight, dear Abraham, and I often think of him. Do you know that Abraham only had 5 words from God? Just 5 words. He didn't have a whole Bible to read. He didn't even have a whole chapter. He just had 5 words. Why, I could turn you to 5 verses as quick as you could hardly think, friend, to show you that the Lord Jesus can be trusted. Verily, verily, I say unto you, did we not hear last night? He that heareth my word and believes God that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into the judgment, but is passed from death unto life. You can trust the word of the Lord Jesus, the Savior of sinners. You can rest on it, friend. It's the same word that brought the world into its being. It's the same word that stilled the storm in the ministry of the Savior. It's the same Savior that stayed through Lazarus in his tomb, dead 4 days, and brought him back to life again. The word of the living God is the word of the Lord Jesus. And my friend, in John chapter 3 and verse 16, this verse on your left ear, before me tonight is the word of the Lord Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, gave him to Calvary to work the mighty work of salvation for dying sinners like you and me. God said, whosoever, thank God tonight, friend, no word could ever describe you more clearly. God's word, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to say, friend, you can trust the work that the Lord Jesus accomplished. God has accepted that work. He has given his word. He tells us this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. One sacrifice for sin, enough. The only man who ever could offer a sacrifice acceptable to God. The only man who could ever offer a sacrifice for sin that would be sufficient for eternity, that men might be saved. Oh, friend, you can trust the work that the Savior accomplished. Person to be trusted. Why, I like to think of that man. This is lightning for the very first time. And if this man ever so directly would be addressed with the gospel, I sometimes wonder what he heard those men praying and what he heard them singing. The prisoners heard them. Anyway, he finally fell off to sleep. I don't know how a man could ever sleep under the praying of the Apostle Paul, or how he could ever sleep under the singing of those two dear men, but he did. He just succeeded in going to sleep. He might have been upstairs somewhere and never just heard the faint singing and the faint praying, but somehow he fell asleep. And I want to tell you, when God woke him up, he was exactly where to go to give the answer to his salvation. Oh, friend, this meeting, let me say to you, come here. Not only like this, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, a person to be trusted. That's what he found that night. And as I close the meeting, I want you to notice he found that God's salvation was instantaneous. Sometimes people think, you know, that they come to gospel meetings and what they're looking for is just a little more knowledge on top of what they have. If I could just learn a little more, then maybe eventually I would arrive at the song. No, my friend, it's not more knowledge you need. It's a person of Christ to be. He's the only one with power to break the bonds of sin that bind you. The only one that has the authority to give eternal life. The only one with power to deliver men from the broad road and place them on the road to glory. You need the person of Christ, not more knowledge. Oh, my friend, get away from trying to look for more. Come to see that the moment that a sinner trusts the Lord Jesus for his salvation, his word, his work at Calvary, his living person, in his power to save, the moment they trust him, that moment, they're eternally saved. God gives them eternal life, the gift of his grace. He gives them the person of the Holy Spirit, the seal of their eternal glory. Oh, friend, tonight, God's salvation could be yours. You need not depart. There are those in this meeting, and you have come night after night. You're not saved yet. I wonder what your hindrance is. I wonder, are you facing the reality of the urgency of salvation? The most important thing that may not be there for your taking tomorrow. Do you believe that, friend? God has said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. The most urgent matter, your sins expose the urgency of your need. And the Word of God exposes the urgency for your salvation. The coming of the Lord could close your last hope of being saved. The most important thing, your salvation tonight. Yes, and a very personal thing. Forgetting all others, put the others aside, friend. Your soul is in the balance, suspended by a brittle thread, also brittle. Pray to God tonight that your life is not taken, your soul plunged without a hope, and into the despair of eternal fire and hell. Oh, friend, believe it, God, most personal, what must I do? A grown man, down on his knees, in the dirt, amidst the dust of an earthquake, with one thing in his soul. What must I do? I tell that love is so bright. We have the answer the apostle had. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust, take him at his word. Trust his work. Trust him, friend, for the power for your deliverance, your salvation. And God's word says, thou shalt be saved. Eternally delivered. Eternally the possessor of everlasting life. Oh, I hope you've discovered something about God's salvation tonight, like that dear man. You'll leave this place being able to tell us, Christ is one. My soul is saved. O God, our Father, we do earnestly pray that thou wilt take the presentation of divine truth tonight and apply it to the need of men and women. We tremble to realize within our soul that men are so careless about the reality of divine truth and revelation. They're so careless about their soul. How awful it would be if for them to go away tonight having had the Word of God in their hand and the truth of God in their ear, and to go out into the night never to come back anymore. O God, speak, we pray, overrule for our very evident weakness, and cause that poor sinners tonight might come to know the saving grace and power of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for him, the love that led him from glory to the cross of shame surpasses our comprehension, but that which is darkness to our intellect is sunshine to our soul. We thank thee for the Savior. We ask thy blessing upon thy word tonight for his great name's sake. Amen.